got time for that again. Yeah, my podcast. All right, there you go. I love it. How's it? Aloha from Hawaii. I'm Junior K. Guevara Jr., and welcome to the podcast. The podcast that answers the question, if can. So that's a question in Hawaii. If can. And what we have a lot of idioms like that, local idioms that I want to say, it's local. But yeah, and you know, when you look around the world and stuff like that, you actually see that, wow, there's idioms like that, elsewhere, right? Same, almost the same, different words sometimes. But all right, hey, and we want to start with the attitude of gratitude, and we want to say thank you for tuning in. You know where you are. So wherever you are, thank you. We're picking up with male listenership, according to the stats. We're not going to go over the stats. We're going to jump right into the podcast and talk about doubt and fear. Okay. And doubt and fear are the only two things that can take your manifestations and like push them away from you. Okay. We're going to get a little bit deep in this podcast. So like if you're a shallow thinker, or if, you don't have the ability to, like, think deep, okay, keep listening, because this may change things for you, okay? Now, all you have to do, really, okay, is change your perception. Because if you change the way you think about things, the things you think about change, okay? And that's with circumstances, that's with everything, okay? But let's examine and take a look at what doubt and fear really are, okay? Because people think of fear like, oh, I'm afraid of this, or I'm afraid of heights, or I'm afraid of big dudes, or whatever it is, right? They associate that kind of fear. Well, I'm here to tell you that there's an underlying undercurrent of fear, okay, that is associated with all negative emotions. Okay, let me say that again, all negative emotions. Okay, so procrastination is rooted in fear. So what are you afraid of, right? You keep putting it off. Why do you keep putting it off, right? There's got to be a reason why you keep putting it off, okay? So procrastination is rooted in fear. At the very base of procrastination is something you're afraid of, okay? And sometimes it's like you see it as, well, I just don't want to do it now. Well, why don't you want to do it? That's the question to ask yourself. Why don't I want to do this? Or this project, or this thing, or whatever. If it's uncomfortable, okay, that uncomfortability is probably rooted in fear somewhere, okay? And you have to identify it. So the steps are usually first, acceptance, right? You accept, okay, I'm procrastinating because, yeah, I dread the idea of doing X, Y, Z, right? And that kind of thing. And then it's like, okay, why do I don't want to do, Yeah, I don't know about the result. I don't know if I do it, I don't know how it's going to turn out. Okay, that's fear. Okay, so identify that, because the first thing you do is accept it. Second thing, first you identify it, then you accept it. Okay, now once you accept something, it's easy to deal with. Okay, and what's the opposite of that? Denial, right? There you go, denial. Okay, so you're either going to accept it or deny it. One of the two. Okay, now I'm here to tell you that I've been in both situations. I've been in denial about a lot of things. I'll tell you the biggest thing that I've been in denial in my life, wearing glasses. Okay, I gotta tell you, Hawaiians. And you learn a lot of truths about me on the podcast. But here's the thing, right? And the fear, right? The fear was like, how am I gonna show up in this person's mind? How am I going to appear to this person? But it wasn't the kind of fear like, insecure kind of fear. The kind of fear was like, it's going to conflict with my entertainment posters. It's going to conflict with my, presentation of, because that's what you do. In show business, you show, okay? That's what you got to be good at doing. You got to be good at showing if you're going to be in show business. That's what it is. And I learned this a long time ago. And it was a rude awakening, because I was sitting in a showroom watching a show, right? On the outside, it looked like, when you were watching the show, it looked like paradise, right? Well, backstage, it was different, and then when these performers were living their personal lives, it was different. You know, and then sometimes these are your heroes, and you hear your heroes say something, because I've been around tons of my heroes. That was one of my biggest blessings from God. God blessed me in the way that I met my biggest heroes, right? And sometimes you would hear your hero say something, you know, and inside you'd be like, oh, like, you know, it would hit you like somebody punched you in the gut kind of thing, you know, and you go, oh, man, because you had the image in your head of the show. You had the image of what you saw, right? And then now the reality part, okay, or let's say the everyday aspect or the way the person really is when they're not showing, okay, or doing a show is really different. And then when you get to that, you know, when you get to that, right, it's kind of like, oh man, I wish that didn't happen. I wish that, because it ruins the image, you know. And if it's one thing that I tried to do, you know, and I still question myself sometimes, because you never know what you're going to be successful at or be good at or whatever. I mean, you know, and because I'm a public figure, I have to always be mindful. Like, okay, if I do this, like, what's the result going to be if I do, and this is the condition, if I do it on a public level. Now, if I say something, you know, off the cuff in my private life, then if it goes around, it goes around, and I don't care. Okay, I'm not afraid of judgment or anything like that. It's just like, okay, if I make that's why I don't make political statements. Okay, now I will post political things on my social media accounts, but most of the time when I do, I don't take a position. Because here's the thing, right? You see all these entertainers, and as soon as they get popular, or as soon as they get known enough to garner some sort of popularity, right? What do? Oh, they start acting like a politician. They thought, well, we should do this, we should do that. And they try to, you know, change the world that way, when the way that they are changing the world is through their music, through their entertaining, you know, whatever, TV show, whatever it is that they do. Okay, so, but I'm here to tell you that that fear is the underlying cause of all negative emotions. Okay, so procrastination, right? That's one. Hesitation, that's another one. If you're hesitating about something, what are you afraid of? Okay, if you're hesitating, well, I don't know if I want to, you know, do this kind of thing. Okay, there's fear associated there, okay? Look beneath the surface. Go way down and like, okay, why am I putting this off, right? Procrastination. Why am I hesitating with this? Hesitation, okay? Fear, okay? Why do I, you know, why do I not want to do something? You know, and it could be just something that's not pleasant. Okay, so what's not pleasant? What is, and you know, so here's the two things. The bottom core things at the bottom of everything is either love, okay? The opposite of love is not hate, okay? The opposite of love is fear, okay? Because when you're not fearing, you weren't born into fear. Okay, when you were a baby and you were born, the day you were born, you were not born fearing. You were born comfortable. You were there. You were with mom. They put you on top of mom, whatever they did, right? Okay, but these things, when you came into the world, you came in through love. Okay, most of us, right? Some of us come into the world through unfortunate circumstances, right? And we don't want to go too deep in that, but, you know, I mean, you know, right? So, but most of us come into the world through love or from love, okay? Or for something that was, you know, loving. And we come to the world in our natural state. So I'm here to tell you that inside of you right now, that energy that's in you, okay, that is pure. That is 100% pure. Pure. Now, when you take a look at all of this for what it really is, right, and you start asking the question, well, who am I? Well, you're an extension of the Creator, okay? So it's like an octopus. It has arms, okay? You're one of the arms. You're one of the end points of that Creator. And this energy that we all share, right? The energy in all human beings. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what, you know, how short you are, how tall you are. It doesn't matter. But that energy is what we all have in common. So when you read holy books and they say we are all one, that's what they're talking about. Okay. So, you know, your neighbor, right? Yeah, I don't like my neighbor. Yeah, he's full of crap. Yeah, you know, whatever. Traits that you don't like about your neighbor, okay? So you have to ask yourself at some point, what am I fearing about my neighbor? Because when you push away like that, when you push away, you're fearing. There's fear there. When you welcome, right, there's love there. Okay. Now, I'm not talking about the Valentine's Day commercial kind of love. I'm not talking about that kind of love. Okay. I'm talking about the neutral energy of all human beings. Okay. Is love. God is love. Okay. They go, well, you know, God, you read, you know, scriptures. God is a jealous God. That's not the God that and that's not the God that you're supposed to be reading up on. Okay. And you know, if you believe that, then okay, whatever you believe, I respect that. Okay. But I'm here to tell you that if you closely examine, let's say if you're looking at the Bible, then I don't want, you know, any DMs or emails about this. So I'm going to be very careful in how I proceed, but you have to consider, okay, well, if God is love and God created everything and God created good and evil and God created, you know, then who's this guy in the Old Testament that's talking about sacrifice and killing children and killing people? And who's that? Is that really God? Is that really the Most High? And you have to ask yourself that question. I'm not going to sit here and make statements and answer the question for you, okay? Because you need to do that on your own. But is that jealous, vengeful, hating, whatever, bad attitude, killing God? Is that our, like, Most High? Is that the Most High that we get? Like, you know, we're going to go up the tree, right? We're going to go up the tree. Well, there's this God, there's that God, there's, you know, different ethnicities have different representations of God, right? And when we get to the Most High, the highest you can go, you know, the Creator or Creators, right? And like, okay, is this really like that person that you read about in the Old Testament? I mean, you know, so you have to question that. You go, well, maybe that's the good side or the positive side, or maybe that's the negative guy. Maybe that's the, you know, the other side. Okay, but you have to take that into account, because otherwise what happens, right, is you live in fear and you're worshiping out of fear. You're not worshiping out of love. Okay, so that's why then they have a, you know, the New Testament thing, right? And I'm not here like critiquing or being critical of the Bible at all. But I'm just saying that these writings exist. And then when you get into the New Testament, right? And that they call it New Testament for a reason. Then when you get into the New Testament, God changes, right? Then there's a representation, right? Now you have a different guy. And now he's preaching a different thing. And this is all about, you know, the four gospels and then you come into the love part. Then you come into the, hey, you guys better think, you know, and then there's the teaching in parables kind of thing, right? Okay. So my position and my thought that I want to put out there just for thinking purposes, okay, just for consideration is, what are you afraid about? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of that guy judging you? Like when you die, that guy? So funny thing about fear, okay? And funny thing about abuse or anything that makes you fear or anything that makes you suffer or anything that passes judgment or anything that's in any negative emotion whatsoever or any negative feeling, okay, cannot be of love, okay? And this, you know, and I saw, and I'm, you know, I'm going to get away from talking about the Bible. Do I read the Bible? Absolutely. Do I believe in the principles of the Bible? Yes, wholeheartedly. Not all of them, but yeah. You know, I don't believe that, you know, we should go out and kill our children in the name of God. I don't believe that killing has anything to do with God. Creation has to do with God. Okay, but anyway, that being said, yeah, I do read my Bible a lot. In fact, I read it almost every day. I have the Bible app. I also read the Bhagavad Gita. I also read the Quran. I also read, you know, so I read these different writings, okay? And they have like a common thread in them, okay? At least some of them do, right? The Abrahamic religions have a common thread through it. And you have a lot of questionable things there. There's just good parts, there's the bad parts, right? But my point is, if you're fearing and you're trying to worship something, but you fear it, and then but I love God, but then, yeah, I'm afraid that God's going to do, you know, whatever to me. Like, for all the bad things I did, like, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really important, though, to, you know, be mindful and be the best person you can be. There's no question about that. You know, it's very good to be mindful and try to do the best you can. And then, yeah, you're going to slip up. Yeah, you're going to sin, or whatever they call sin, right? Yeah, you're going to do negative things, because we're human beings and we go from positive to negative all the time. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, right? And, you know, and some people, right, have that last straw kind of thing. And then that last straw provokes them into doing something very negative. You know, you had a hard day at the office, you know, whatever. Somebody cuts you off in traffic and you yell, or you do some, right? That kind of thing. So you can't escape negativity. You can't escape fear, okay? But, I mean, fear is for a reason. We fear for a reason. It's to keep us out of trouble. It's to warn us, like, hey, you better be careful over here, because this is like that. This is a whatever it is, circumstance, right? But that's our warning system. It's an early warning system. So when the time comes, we need to be warned. When the time comes, you know, the fight or flight thing, right? The caveman needed to run away from lions or whatever. I really don't know how. I've always read things like that, and I go, how is a human being going to run from a lion? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, anyway, there's your comedy, Owens. There's your comedy. But what I'm saying is, right, that if you have, if you cannot love something you fear, okay? But what happens is that victims of abuse, victims of, you know, I want to say gaslighting, I want to say, and, you know, I'm not trying to throw out all these terms just to throw them out, okay? I think we've all been there at some point with some form of gaslighting, okay? So those of you who, you know, are not familiar with the term, gaslighting is just somebody rearranging something for you and making you think or believe that something is not the way it actually is, you know? So, and people do that all the time. Okay, and there's different motives for it. Some is malicious, some is not. Some may be innocent, right? Okay, like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. And I mean, you know, the Tooth Fairy, right? You know, these things, right? So it's not, those things are not malicious. Although, yeah, you know, I could go into the esoteric knowledge of Santa Claus, and that's not a podcast, Hawaii. That's for esoteric knowledge, okay? But what I'm saying is, yeah, you know, you can't love, truly love something you fear. If you're in an abusive relationship, okay, it's very difficult, right, to love someone you fear. But you know what happens after a while? After a while, you start to love your abuser. After a while, you start to embrace it. And for the simple reason that negative attention is better than no attention, right? So I'd rather get, you know, whatever. I'd rather get hit and this and that and whatever than nobody caring about me, okay? And that's when you get into, like, fear of loss, okay? So it's still fear again, okay? It's fear of loss. So fear of loss makes you cling, right? Fear of loss makes you gravitate. Okay, and so anyway, but that's fear, okay? So all the negative emotions are rooted in fear. And these fear, you know, mechanisms that we have work for and against us. And so it's up to us to go, okay, to know, consciously know when you're fearing and go, okay, I don't want any part of that. Detach from that. So doubt and fear. Now let's talk about doubt. Let's talk about self-doubt. Okay, now you can doubt, or, you know, somebody tells you a story like, oh yeah, I was fishing, I caught this big one, it was like this big. And in your mind, you're like, nah, cannot be, you know, or whatever, right? And you doubt. Okay, so that's probably the most common way to doubt. But when you start getting into self-doubt, okay, and then you start getting into negative self-talk, okay, so when you start questioning yourself. And the reason why we do this is because human beings are the only beings on Earth, right, in this realm or on this planet, depending on what you believe, that can observe themselves in motion. Okay, animals can't do that. They have this one reality. They have this one view. They have this one understanding. And they have this one perception that is just straightforward, and that's all they know. Okay, they don't have the ability to observe themselves, okay? But humans do, and that's part of that. So that's the blessing and the curse. The last podcast, we were talking about ADHD, blessing and curse. Okay, here's another blessing and curse. Oh, it's right here. Okay, so the ability to observe yourself in motion, okay, opens you wide up for self-critique, and self-criticism. Okay, why? Well, because you end up doing things you don't like. You end up doing things that you know are wrong, right? And then you judge yourself. Mm-hmm. So what happens when that happens? Well, when you start judging yourself, because, you know, right? Here's an example I give a lot of my clients, because a lot of my clients are in this position, okay? They have a lot of, I want to say they get frustrated with themselves. Okay, and here's an example that I give my clients. You know when you go to the store and you're like, you just get out of the line, you're walking out of the store, you look at the receipt and you go, wow, I got shorted 12 cents. Then you look back at the line and you go, it's too much of a hassle to go back, right? There's a lot of people in the line. It's embarrassing that the cashier is working and then I got to go back and fuss over 12 cents. Right? Or whatever it is. And what do you do? Well, you do what we call eating it. Okay? So we eat it, or whatever. Whatever you want to say. Eat it, swallow it, take it, whatever. Okay? And then when that happens, what do? Inside, we know. We know we should have gone back to resolve the issue, and now we have an unresolved issue within ourselves. Okay, because we hold ourselves accountable, whether you think so or not, whether you know so or not. And so then, you know, and I know I'm probably preaching to the choir, but you need to hear this and you need to think about it. Okay, so what do we do? Well, we eat it. Okay, that's done. We go home. Everything's good. And, you know, the rest of the day, night, whatever. Okay. But then a few days later, it happens again. And this time it may not be the store. This time it may be your best friend going, you know what, like, and just saying something without thinking, right? And inside you're going, I really should say something to so-and-so. I really should say, I should correct her. I should correct him, right? But you don't. Because why? Well, because you don't want conflict. You don't want to, you know, because you don't know how they're going to take it. You don't know how they're going to react. And everyone is different. Even if you know that person really good, if it's something like pretty deep that you want to convey, or something that really bothers you, or there's a reason why, you know, maybe when you were a kid, something bad happened to you. And when this happened, so this reminds you of that. And then, you know, that kind of thing. And you don't want to say. So what do? You eat it. Okay, now you've eaten the store thingy, right? Now you've eaten the personal encounter thingy, right? Okay, and it kind of goes from there, okay? And then what happens? Well, pretty soon, you start holding all these things against yourself without your knowledge, without being consciously aware. But subconsciously, you know these things. Subconsciously, Your subconscious is taking notes of all these things. Your subconscious takes notes of every single edit that happens to you, or every single, right? That, you know what I'm talking about, right? So every, all of that, every single instance, every single time, your subconscious has made a record. Okay. And now what happens? Well, now you hold it against yourself. And what does that lead to? That leads to self-doubt and self-criticism. Okay. Now we, you know, we do this with friends. We're sarcastic. Okay. We're sarcastic with our friends. You know, I spend more time with clients than I do with friends. So, when I get to be around my friends, I'm still thinking about my clients and I'm going, wow, you know, it's hard for me to be sarcastic. It's because I know what it does. Okay. And on the, you know, on the inside, the way it works is, you know, somebody would tease you about your, I don't know, boots or your shoes or your whatever, right? Or your slippers, whatever, you know, and they'll make fun of it. Like, wow, dude, really? Like, you know, and you're going to think about it. Okay. Now, you know, there was a instance just lately where I threw away like two, three pairs of shoes. And it's because, and these shoes were in good condition because that's what I do. I take care of my stuff. And I bought it years and years ago. Well, they were terribly out of style, right? And Uncle is rocking them, right? And I thought, hey, you know, I don't give a damn what, you know, what people think, right? But eventually I was like, you know, so I started thinking about it. Right? I started thinking about, because there were some comments made, right? And so eventually I was like, yeah, you know what? And it got the best of me. Now, you know, I'm not saying that you should go wear clothes out of style. I'm not saying that you should go wear shoes that are outdated, okay? But you know, and I saw my grandfather do it, so maybe it's hereditary. They came out of the war years, and the war years were years where everybody took care of every little thing they had. As a result, they ended up with too many things, okay? But they were all in great condition, you know, that kind of thing? Okay, so and, you know, I stopped being this way about my cars. You know, every 3 years I had a brand new car, a brand new, you know, and then it turned into brand new leases, right? And then I told myself at one point, like, because I was afraid to, you know, get sand in my car. I was afraid to, like, get it dirty. I was afraid to eat in my car, that kind of thing. I didn't want roaches in there. I mean, that kind of thing. And after a while, it was like, dude, you always have new car smell, so this is always a, you know, new thing or whatever. Like, it's only a car. It's only a car. I remember getting rear-ended by this girl and totally demolished my car right after I had it polished and cleaned and stuff, right? And she was all shaken up. It was a young 19, 20-year-old girl, and she was all shaken up. And I went up to her, you know, and I was really happy in the way that I handled it. Cause instead of getting mad, instead of, you know, flying off the cuff, and my car was totaled. I mean, it was crunched up. And you know, she got out of the car and I gave her a big hug and I said, don't worry. It's only a car. And she looked at me like, huh? What? And you know, and I go, it's only a car. Don't worry. You know, and what I really meant was like, hey, nobody got hurt. Humans are important, right? Humans are important. But anyway, getting back to the self-doubt and the self-criticism, when something happens that, you know, or we get sarcastic with people, those things stick in their heads, okay? And too much of that, right, whether it's done intentionally or playfully, too much of that will start activating their thoughts on the subject. You know, like, oh yeah, well maybe this shirt is kind of screwed up. Maybe it is a junk shirt or whatever, or shoes or whatever it is, right? And we think about it. Okay. And even me, I had to give it some thought. And I'm like, well, I can just go buy, you know, better looking shoes or buy more up to date looking shoes. You know, and I have some. Right. So it's, I mean, and I was like saving all this, you know, cleaning all this stuff and keeping them all nice, polished, everything, you know, and I'm like, that's not necessary. No, I don't know if this helps you guys or not. I'm not flexing. I'm trying to tell you guys what I went through. That was my experience, right? But here's what happens with my clients. Over time, right, when you eat it, okay, over time, when you start, you know, not being true to yourself, and true to yourself means sticking up for yourself, and sticking up for yourself means saying something when it ain't right, okay, in a calm, relaxed, loving manner, okay, and I don't mean love like Valentine's Day, okay, I'm talking about the other kind of love again, but in a calm, neutral way. Like, hey, you're my bestie. Why would you say something like that? What makes you say that? Or something like that. Not in a cocky way. In a nice way. Like, why would you say that? The person probably has no idea, right? And they may call you sensitive. Okay, but you're not doing this for them. You're doing this for you. Okay, so when you start getting confident with yourself, when you start realizing that, hey, I got to stick up for me, right? And, you know, when you, I want to say, quote, grow up, end quote, you do less of the sarcasm. You can do sarcasm to play around, but you're more selective and careful with what you're being sarcastic about. Okay, are you being sarcastic about somebody's shirt, or are you being sarcastic about a situation? You know, so those are two different things. But what do we do when we're, you know, it's called giving each other crap, right? When you're with a friend group. So your friend group, right? Yeah, give each other crap. Yeah, I rib so-and-so about this. Yeah, I tease so-and-so about that, right? In the dating world, they tell you, right, the PUAs, pickup artists, they tell you, yeah, you just tease a girl till she can't take it anymore. You just break her down. You're like, you know, and I'm like, no, these things stick in their heads. They start thinking about this. And it doesn't matter if you're a girl. It doesn't matter if you're a dude. It doesn't matter. You're a human being. You're the highest intelligence, form of intelligence on the planet or in the realm, depending on what you believe. And these things will work on you. So what does doubt do? Well, doubt, self-doubt, right, starts to lower your self-esteem. And now you have a problem. Because now you start to believe these things, okay? So the subconscious operates in repetition, learns in repetition, okay? So now, you know, all of these things that you're, you know, being subject to, okay, all of these teasings, all of these, you know, whatever, you start to think about this stuff. And what does it do to your self-esteem? Well, if you're not deflecting it mentally, okay, then you're accepting it. If you're not deflecting it, You're welcoming it, okay? And then you start pondering it, okay? Now, the subconscious learns in repetition. You keep thinking about it over and over and over. Pretty soon you come to the conclusion, right? You know, and whatever the conclusion is. But the conclusion is not going to be pretty. The conclusion has to do with lowering self-esteem. And then what? Well, then you don't speak up anymore. Then you hold it in. Then you become passive-aggressive, you know? And I'm not using these as in the clinical sense. I'm just saying it's just so you have an idea of what I'm talking about. I'm not giving medical advice or anything like that. But I'm saying like the passive aggressive thing, right? Take it, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. Boom! Explode. You see? Okay. And you take it until you can't take it anymore. And that's where you get these people that for some reason, they get that last straw and then, bam, they do something destructive, okay? And destructive could be words. Destructive could be, you know, setting something on fire. Destructive could be murder. Destructive could be, you know, a whole host of things, okay? But it's going to be destructive because they need an outlet. So there has to be an outlet, okay? Now, so what does this doubt and fear do in regards to, you know, manifestation, right? Because this is a law of attraction podcast. So what it does is it just keeps pushing your goodness away. That's all. Doubt and fear ruin manifestation, okay? Because number one, with self-doubt, you don't consider yourself worthy, okay? You don't consider yourself, you know, of in of that kind of value. So let me give you an example, right? Let's say you want a new car. Let's say the new car is a high-end car. And let's say in your head, you have low self-esteem, okay? You're not going to be able to picture yourself in that car. As a result, you will not get that car. I don't care what. You will not. You will just go to the level that you're at, and that's it. So take a look at your car. Take a look at your surroundings. Take a look at the things you have, okay? Now, if you notice that over the past maybe 3 years, everything has gotten better each year, congratulations, you're doing great, okay? If you look back at the last 3 years of your life and you see, like, everything is kind of relatively the same, give or take a few whatever, okay, value-wise. Maybe it's not dollar-wise. Maybe it's the quality of people that you're around, okay? But you have to take an audit. You have to do an audit of your life. Now, when you start doing that and you start, you know, thinking like, yeah, you know, in the last 3 years, everything's gotten better. My friends, the caliber of my friends got better. The people, the places, the things, like all of these things got better. If that's what happened in the last 3 years and you take a personal audit, guess what? You're headed in the right direction, okay? And if it's the only thing that I know from 2008 when I started studying this stuff is that things just keep getting better and better and better. And that's all I know, you know? So, and like I said, I'm not trying to flex, but I'm trying to tell you that when you change your mind, you change your life. Okay, and you have to write these things down. So the principles or the pillars that we teach, okay, is first of all, affirmations, write it down. Meditation, okay, that's important, okay, because you have to put a vibrational pause in what you're doing, okay? You have to. You can't be on. You're holding all your stuff out there. It's like you're extending your arm at arm's length, you know, with that stop motion, right? You know, with your palm open like that, up like that, like, right? Like, stop. And that's where your blessings are, right there. It's not coming to you, okay? You're holding it at arm's length, okay? But now, when you get rid of self-doubt, when you get rid of self-criticism, when you get rid of the fear, what happens? Well, your arm just drops. And this is metaphorically, right? But it just drops. And what's the result? All the goodness comes. All the goodness starts to come, right? So, you know, the first thing you need to do is work on you. The first thing I had to do was work on me, you know, and I had to, first of all, go, okay, you know what? I'm going to, in the beginning, I tell this story all the time. So if you've heard it, just bear with me. I'll make it fast. But I started writing affirmations. I go, okay, I'm going to give it, you know, 60 days because it takes 60 days or 63 days to change a habit. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this for 2 months, roughly 2 months, right? And I'm going to look back. And if this doesn't work, I'm never, ever, ever, ever doing this again because I'm that kind of person. I'm very stubborn like that. And stubbornness can work for you, okay? Because I'm too stubborn to jump off my path. I'm too stubborn not to work. I'm too stubborn not to push myself, right? Which sometimes is wrong too, right? Because you have to develop a rhythm. Okay, so it's not just about push, push, push in life, okay? You have to work, and then you have to be. Then you have to do, then you have to be. Do and be. Doobie-doobie-do, okay? But you got to find what kind of doobie-do works for you, okay? How much do, and then how much be, okay? Because you can't just go, 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 go like that. Because then again, you're keeping everything like that at arm's length because you're producing vibrational momentum. And that momentum is just keeping everything out there because you're push, push, push. And then you wonder why you don't get results. Why don't I get results with my manifestation? I tried this, I tried that. Why do we, you know? And people get all frustrated like that. And it's something very easy to get frustrated with. And the average person will quit. The average person will go, ah, the hell with it, right? Yeah, I don't want to do this. Yeah, junk already. Right? The average person will do that. Okay? Well, don't be the average person. Okay? Be the above average person. But here's how it happened for me. After 2 months, I looked back and I started reading through my affirmations and I go, wow, I asked for this and, oh, yeah, I have that now. Like, I wanted this, or I wanted this many clients, or I wanted this much, whatever it was. I looked and I go, wow, the majority of it, not everything, not every single thing, but the majority of everything I wrote down happened in 2 months. Okay, so the guideline or the rule to that is you can only request from the universe or God or source, however you believe, you can only request what is realistic to your subconscious. Okay, and here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm really saying. If you want $5,000 and you've never done an affirmation for money before, or let's say you've never held $5,000 in your hand, okay? If you've never had, you know, say like a stack of $100 bills or, you know, like $5,000 worth, then to your subconscious, it's foreign. To your subconscious, it's so out there that your subconscious can't wrap around it, right? So what you do is you start small, okay? Start with $20, okay? Because $20 is not a lot of money for a lot of people, right? Especially now it's been devalued, all of that, right? All right, start with $20, then go $50, then go $100. Wait until it happens. Do the $20 affirmation. I am so happy and grateful now that I have $20. Thank you. Okay, now when $20 shows up, it could show up in a tax refund. It could show up like your friend just gives you money. It could show up like your parents giving you money or whoever. Somebody just like, hey, here, you know, thank you for the service and giving you a $20 tip. But you need to be aware when the $20 comes. And this is where people kind of don't get it, right? Because sometimes they go, oh no, but that was my taxes. I was owed that. No, you're not owed nothing. You are owed nothing in life, okay? And until you change the way you think about things, the things that you think about will not change. So what's the key? Gratitude, okay? Now you're grateful for that $20, no matter how it comes. You know, you're working in a service industry or whatever, right? Maybe you're working in a restaurant. You get a $20 tip. You thank God for that $20 or whoever you believe in, whatever, your higher self, your whatever, source, okay? And you say thank you. Now, when you say thank you, and I got to tell you, Hawaiians, I got to be perfectly honest with you. I do not know how gratitude works. I don't know how it works. I know it works. Guarantee, like all day long, 100%. 1,000%, it works. When you are thankful for what you have, you get more. Like, it's just that simple. I don't know how it works, okay? The only answer I have is God is real. That's it. Or source is real, or Allah is real, or Jesus Christ is real, or Gautama Buddha is real, or however you believe, okay? But that you know, that super conscious. So there's a conscious mind, subconscious mind, super conscious that we're all plugged into, okay? Or consciousness, right? Now, however you believe within the scope of all of that, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is, okay? Because only that could produce more out of gratitude. And so I don't know, you know, if it's in us. You know, because in the Bible, Jesus, you know, says, and it's not like a cut and dried kind of thing, but he says, ye are gods, okay? And I think, you know, and there's different meanings. He's not saying that we are all gods, but we all have God in us. We all have that energy in us that makes all of us one, because it's all the same energy, okay? If you want to say spirit, say spirit. If you want to say soul. Whatever you want to say, energy, spirit, soul, it's all of that, and it's in you, and you can make it work magic. And I'm not talking about magic as in voodoo or witchcraft or anything like that, although you could do that if you choose, because it's whatever you choose, however you choose. If you want to pray and you want to obtain something, okay, go pray. It works. I tested prayer. I tested prayer back when I was in my early 30s. And I prayed for some off-the-wall stuff. I can't even tell you. One time I prayed for this girl. Well, I didn't pray for a specific girl because, you know, you can't do that. Everybody has free will. But I prayed for, you know, a woman that looked like this and whatever. And she showed up. And I'm like, whoa. And, like, it was 2 weeks later. And she showed up. you know, on Thanksgiving Day. And guess what I did, Alliance? I gave thanks. I gave thanks. I was praising God. I was like, thank you, Father God. Thank you. And we had a great time. And, you know, we don't keep up or anything anymore or, you know, anything like that. But we had a great time. And we were friends for a long time until she moved to the mainland. And I haven't, you know, I haven't seen her. But I'm just saying that, you know, you can pray for anything. You can pray for anything. Try it. Go ahead. Okay. But you have to pray without ceasing until that, whatever it is you're praying for, arrives. Okay. That's the key. So in other words, top of mind. Okay. In other words, put it into your subconscious and your subconscious will arrange it. Okay. Now, that's kind of, you know, out there for some people. And they go, well, how can your subconscious arrange, you know, whatever? Okay, here's an example. Take this first step. Take baby steps. Because if you make the wrong step, you're going to, you know, it's a large correction kind of thing. So you take baby steps. You know, like you stick your foot in a swimming pool, like you stick your toes in to see how cold the water is. That's how you proceed. You just take small baby steps like that. And guess what happens? People show up. The right people show up. The right doors open. And you go, how the hell did this? This is a coincidence. No, it's not. It's within you. It's within you. Take the baby step, Hawaiians. Okay? Take the baby step. Okay? And then you take another step. And then, oh, hey, you know, I was just down at the restaurant and I met this guy and he just, it's a coincidence, but he works for this industry that I'm trying to get into. And he told me that like we could have a conversation. He gave me his card. You see? Okay? Stuff like that. Stuff out of the blue. Stuff that you cannot even explain will happen when you take the baby steps. But you have to focus on what it is you want. You know, the result of what you want. Like, what do you really want? That's a loaded question. Okay? So if you start writing, and I mean just right. Sit down in a quiet place with a pen and a pad, okay, and start writing, okay? And just as you get the thoughts, write it down. Even if they're crazy thoughts, write them down, okay? You can tear up the paper when you're done, but write it down. Because when you write, it goes directly into your subconscious. Write it down. You know, I want to be a millionaire. Write it down. I want to be a millionaire. Okay, and then think about it. Like, what is it going to take to be a millionaire? Do the numbers. Okay, back in 2008, I did the numbers. I went and said, okay, I want to make, you know, X number dollars a year, right? X number, whatever. I put down the figure. And then I had to break it down. So the yearly amount is a huge amount. Okay, then you got to break it down to the monthly amount. Then you got to break it down to the weekly amount. Then you got to break it down to the hourly amount. And that number is doable. Okay? Now, you need to figure out, okay, how much effort, how much time, how much labor do I have to put in to achieve that daily amount? And then, oh yeah, I got to do that every day. But I'm here to tell you that your subconscious will take care of it. Why? Because when you keep doing the repetition, you do it every day. Okay, let's say you approach 5-6 people doing, I don't know, sales of X number of dollars, and you get 2 clients a week. So now you know, like if you need 5 clients, right? So you need to break it down into what you're doing. If you're a car detailer, you got to figure out, okay, I do, you know, cars for $250 a pop, right? Whatever. And now you gotta do the math. Now you got to figure out how much it's going to take to get to your annual amount. And you reverse engineer it. You do it backwards. And then you find out, oh, I got to do 6 cars a week in order to get that. Or I got to do 10 cars a week to do that. Right? Well, there you go. Okay. But if you are just going about life like life happens to you, okay, because life happens for you, believe it or not. You know, it's up to you if you want to believe it, whatever. I don't care. But life happens for you, not to you. Okay, there's a lot of people out there thinking that life happens to them because they don't know any better and they haven't experienced anything else. Okay, my life happens for me all the time, all day long, every day. And when I'm complacent, when I don't do a good job, when I do something wrong, when I have a bad thought, or let's say I get lazy always. Yeah, there's some days I just stay in bed. I don't do anything. You know, do I have repercussions of that? Oh, yeah. When I'm not productive, I don't make as much money. When I'm not on it and jamming and producing, I don't make as much money. Okay. When you have your own business, or, you know, in my case, businesses, because I jump from things, you know, thing to thing to thing during the week, I have certain days I work on certain things. But I'm just saying, like, when you don't do it and you're, you know, working for yourself, yeah, you may be able to slide if you're working for a corporation and you call in sick and cheat and just sleep all day. You're still going to get your benefits. You're still going to get your salary. You're still going to get your money. Okay. Too much of that will get you out of a job, but, you know, just saying, okay. But that's the kind of thing. And anyway, that's the way you need to think about things. Break things down to the smallest amount, right? So that it's easy for you to wrap your mind around. Yeah, oh, I can make $1 million a year, and that's going to be X number of dollars an hour, right? And then you get the weekly figure, then you get the monthly figure, then you get a 6-month figure, then you get the annual figure of $1 million. It's not difficult to do. In 2010, we passed the $1 million mark. In 2010, and I was like, whoa. And what I'm talking about is when I was a kid, right? The reason why it was important to me, when I was a kid, my parents told me, you'll never make any money playing music. Never. Don't even think about that. And I understand why. And they were actually right. If I was a gigging musician, if I just went down to the bar and, you know, played a guitar, my guitar, and sat in the corner and whatever, right? Like that. That would be impossible. Okay. But, you know, I had to do marketing. I had to put a show together. I had to put an act together. You know, for a long time, there was this guy. He goes, dude, you got to have an act. You don't have an act. All you do is sing. You gotta do, you know, and it was the most painful thing for me to go through, because I had to learn comedy, right? You know, I had to learn how to do, you know, timing, everything. I had to learn all of that. It was a struggle for me. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to do what I saw, you know, these other guys do, like Frank Sinatra and locally Don Ho and you know, Dick Jensen and people you guys don't even know unless you're older. But I watched these guys, and all they did was sing. You know, some of them did comedy. Yeah, some of them were funny. They were all entertaining, right? But I had to divide my show into, okay, this is the 20 minutes I'm going to do stand-up comedy. You know, I'm going to do my routines. I'm going to do my voices, whatever. And I had to organize it. And it was grueling for me, like, to do it. And then the first time I did it, I was like, wow, I got through it, you know? And then the second time, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can get used to this. And, you know, now I can still recite the whole act in my head. I can still do the whole act. You know, I'm retired now. I retired since 2019. But this is what I'm talking about. You have to get everything down to digestible amounts for your subconscious. Because if you write an affirmation for $5,000 and you haven't had $5,000 yet, you need to start at the bottom like anything else in life. Start at the bottom. You know, I am so happy and grateful now that I have $20. Thank you. And then go 50, 100, 200, 500, 1,000. Okay, when you get to 1,000, because I worked up to 5,000. I did not write any affirmations over $5,000 until today. I haven't. I didn't desire it after a while. It wasn't about money after a while. You know, it was about, I am so happy and grateful now that I have more people to help. I am so happy and grateful now that I am well. You know, it became those things, right? In the beginning, when you're young, yeah, money, 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 money. That's all you think about, right? But that's only one component of wealth. Just one component. Money is not the end all. Money is not like, you know, money is not the huge deal, okay? It is important and it is necessary, okay? But here's the last thing I'm going to leave you with, Hoynes, okay? When you start placing your focus on service, like what you can do for somebody else, or what you can give somebody else, or how you can be there for somebody else, right? Instead of, oh, I got to make sure I get mine, or you know, right? Like, oh, what am I going to get out of this, right? I used to ask that question to myself, like, a long time ago. Like, okay, wait a minute. What am I going to get out of this, right? And if I'm not getting anything out of this, I don't want to do it, right? If I'm not getting anything out of this, to hell with it, right? I used to think like that a long time ago when I was, like, in my late 20s, early 30s. I used to think like that until I started learning, right? And then when I started learning, you know, and the old-timers used to say stuff like, you're going to learn. And they would just watch me make all these mistakes and fundamental errors and, you know, stupid stuff, right? But once I started learning, I discovered the secret. And the secret is life happens for you, but you have to be proactive. You have to be in the driver's seat or the captain of the ship or whatever you want to call it. Because unless you... Oh, sorry, Owens. I got to go. Oh boy. Hey, want to thank Brother Randy and Sister Jerry over there at Island Club and Spa, our fine sponsors. Also, the Voice Master family of service companies, and Darren Chinin and his music at AFMHawaiiMusic.com. Oh man, what a podcast. What a podcast. Can't wait. We take you guys pretty deep, okay? You don't have to get deep on a daily, but just, yeah, entertain the principles and concepts of this podcast. I know it's a lot to process, but yeah. Okay, until next time, I'm Junior K. Goyama Jr. saying mahalo and aloha.